A reading from Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. Behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lutherans have an important and unfortunately quite distinctive approach to the Bible. We first approach a topic by the passages that talk about that topic. It seems kind of obvious. But you know how easy it is to take some sound bite out of context and to give it a totally different meaning. If journalists do it, why wouldn't preachers also? We want to avoid that. One of the most important examples of this is the Catechism's teaching on the sacraments. When a father wants to teach his family about the Lord's Supper in a simple way, he doesn't start by looking at what the Psalms say about wine, or what Exodus or post-temple Judaism says about the Passover. If you want to know what the Lord's Supper is and what it's for, go to where Jesus institutes it. He took bread and he said, "This is my body." He took the cup and said, "This is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." We call these the words of institution. And we have the same for holy baptism too, mentioned frequently elsewhere throughout the New Testament, but we start at our Lord's clear instructions. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Here Jesus gives the command to do it. He gives the substance of it and the action. He gives all of its benefits. Just start in the right place, where Jesus institutes it. Now, at the same time, it's not as if we then reduce the Bible just to a few passages, things Jesus says alone, and then we throw out the rest. A piecemeal approach leads to a piecemeal understanding, and we are always growing into more when we are growing into our Lord's words and scriptures. Those most likely to dismiss the sacraments by using some off-topic passage, they are, curiously, the very same ones who also reduce the sacrament's importance to mere ordinances, with very little purpose for us beyond our obedience. Now, we don't ignore those indirect or those off-topic passages, but rather it's precisely our conviction that all of the scriptures testify about Christ as the Savior of sinners. This is what leads us to listen to him and then to delight in his sacraments as the means of grace and salvation for us. Protestants do well with the starting points for grace and salvation. They acknowledge that Jesus saves. They also acknowledge that faith saves, and they don't usually see any conflict between Jesus and faith. But they really stumble when the Apostle Peter says, "Baptism saves." They do pit baptism against Jesus and against faith. Against faith, as if baptism were a human work contrary to faith. And against Jesus, as if somehow baptism would distract us from his death and his blood. But meanwhile, we see baptism, as with all of our Lord's institutions, really in the whole Bible, centered in Jesus Christ, because he makes them what they are. Isn't it always the case in Jesus' ministry? At the turn of the year, Jesus fulfilled circumcision. He made it what it was by undergoing it, even though it was becoming unnecessary through that fulfillment. And he put his gift of the New Testament in his blood, the Lord's Supper, into effect by his crucifixion, where his body was given and his blood was shed, as St. Paul says we explicitly remember and proclaim every time we eat and drink. As often as we eat and drink this bread and this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And neither did Jesus merely teach as a bystander or as a professor on prayer, use my name and so forth. No, he himself prayed, "Thy will be done," while his disciples were falling away and he was fulfilling the Lord's will for them. And he brought all of us with him and our prayers confidently to the Father when he audaciously said and asked us to pray as well, "Our Father." In this very same way, the baptism of our Lord is related to his institution of holy baptism for us, as today's hymn is delighting in. Now, sure, baptism wasn't exactly instituted at the Jordan by Jesus' words and some kind of instruction by him. If it were, well, then we might need to use that gross Jordan River water like Protestant tourists do sometimes. That is, if we're not too late, because John the Baptist already has lost his head. Now, if that were our starting place, perhaps we would believe, in fact, that baptism is a matter of obedience, something we should imitate Jesus in. It's an ordinance for us to fulfill all righteousness. But instead, it is just as Jesus says in today's gospel. It was fitting that he should fulfill all righteousness, as he always does, doing his work, or in this case, undergoing all things, not for his own sake, but for our benefit. Today, the righteous branch fulfills all righteousness to be our Lord, our righteousness. The sinless one is put into sinner's water to mark him as the one who bears it all the way to the scaffold. He makes baptism what it is by undergoing it. And all of those grand signs at his baptism, which I have to say, never happened at any of mine or yours. The Spirit descending bodily like a dove, the Father's voice heard out loud. Well, these signs testify pretty uniquely to who he is for us, but then because he is for us, to what holy baptism gives each of us when it christens us with God's triune name. By baptism, we are then joined to this beloved Son, this Christ. We then are beloved and well-pleasing to God the Father in him, and we take possession of the Holy Spirit as his gracious gift. Now, the topic at hand then today in the baptism of our Lord really is, who is this man Jesus? He is the Christ. He is the eternal Son who is marked as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the Father says to us, believe in him. And so then, also, believe his clear teaching and his instituting testimony about holy baptism when he says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.